Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is Perek Chavav, the 26th chapter of Sefer Mishlei, of the Book of Mishlei. We are going to study this, as I mentioned in the previous chapter, with the commentary of the Malbim, because Rabbi Yonah, in the manuscripts in front of us at least, his commentary runs out by this point, and so they gathered a few comments that he made elsewhere on Pesukim and Mishlei. So if you study Sha'arei Tshuva, the Gates of Repentance, if you study the commentary on Avot, there are a few comments he makes on these later Psukim, and so they gather them here, but we will instead take the Malbim. And interestingly, for Mishlei, at least as far as we've seen, the Malbim understands the first 16 Psukim of the Perek as being a sustained, and we'll see it, and it is a sustained discussion of the Ksil, and then the Chacham Be'inav. So the Ksil is the person who is who we'll see in the Malbim's understanding is the person who understands what wisdom is all about and knows about it, but is simply too caught up in his ordinary desires and his physical desires to restrain himself. So that is the Ksil, and we'll see what Mishlei says about that. And then the Chacham Be'inav is somebody who objects to or disagrees with the definitions of wisdom as Judaism and as true wisdom have them, and that is a person who we'll see perhaps a large element of that. It's absolute. It's just he's too lazy to do the things that are required, or she's too lazy to do the things that are required to become an actual chacham. So let's push in and we'll see. Pasuk Aleph, Kashelik Bakai Zechamatai Bakatsi. We've seen this in the previous chapter as well. The whole idea of snow in the summer and rain in the time of the harvest. So in the previous chapter, it was the cold of snow, and Rashi'd seen that as a good thing, but Rashi pointed out that the snow itself is a problem. So here too, the Malbim understands that Kashelik Bakai Zechamatai Bakatsi says snow and rain are important. Snow, he says, prepares the ground, wetens the ground, softens the ground for eventual planting, and rain helps the plants actually come out, actually grow. But in the summertime and in the harvest time, you don't want either one of those, because the rain will ruin the crops that have not yet been harvested. And the snow, in the summer, when the snow would come is when you need sun, because you're trying to dry out the fruit, because without refrigeration, fruit goes bad unless you dry it out. So you're trying to dry out fruit. So the snow and the rain, which are sometimes good, are here bad. So too, giving kavod to a ksil is very bad. It's not that honor is bad. We might have thought that, but Malbim goes out his way to say that it's not that honor is bad, because if you give honor to a chacham, to a wise person who plants, plows and plants, al kol kat nafsho, the field of his soul. So giving him honor, that's like rain. Why is it like rain? To produce the plants that he's planting, the godly plants, because by the kavod, it helps his powers. So the way the Malbim says is, lotziat kol ma shebakoach el hapoel, take all of his potential and turn it into the actual. So that honoring the wise people, he seems to be saying, that only helps society, but helps those wise people. Meaning, if I'm a wise person, I'm trying to make myself a better person, but life is hard and nobody honors me and nobody respects me, makes explicit how that works, but I might guess that that could be the kind of thing which would lead a person to either doubt himself or not be sure, or make it harder for him to stick to his own path. Whereas if you honor his path, so let's say, for example, somebody is learning Torah assiduously, really putting a lot of effort into it, and they're not yet married, just I'm trying to take all the issues that you might think of. They're not yet married, so they don't have deep financial concerns, and they're living on whatever they happen to have, and they're studying well. So if everybody around them honors them and says, oh, this is so great, this is so wonderful, that will fortify them and they will study that much harder. But if everybody around them is saying, why aren't you studying law, or why aren't you this, or why aren't you that, so they might continue, but their strength will be somewhat sapped. I think that's what the Malbim means. If you give honor to them, it helps them have a better harvest of the efforts they're making to plowing and to planting. Whereas if you give that same kavod to a ksil, who is not planting seeds of wisdom, not planting seeds of service of God, so that helps destruction, because he will think that his kisilut is right and proper and appropriate. That's a deep issue, I think, for many contexts. If we define the ksil as the person who just doesn't bother to seek after wisdom, so they don't learn Torah regularly, they don't try to learn Torah regularly, they don't try to forget learning Torah, they don't try to guide their lives by the definition of what wisdom would want it to be. The Pasuk is going to be saying giving honor to these people is a problematic issue. It's going to ruin the harvest. So I think Da'ilecha Kimim Vermiza, I think that I don't have to go further into that, but I think there are many issues in our times where we can see people who might qualify in this context as Ksilim, as people who, rather than follow the paths of wisdom and care about the paths of wisdom, care more about indulging their own physical desires, and yet they get great deals of honor for various reasons. Pasuk Bet, Katzipo Lanud Kadro La'uf, Ken Kilalat Chinam Alo Davo. Malbim has a whole discussion. So this is a tzipor and a drawer tzipor. Sometimes in the house, but likes to fly away nonetheless a lot of times, whereas a drawer is a bird that never comes into the house, always makes their nest outside in the freedom, and is like their tendency to fly away, so too the kilat chinam will not come. So then, al-kinat kilam lo tavo means it won't come with an aleph, but it might also be low with a vav, it will come to him. So the Malbim says, yeah, it's one or the other. It could either be like a tzipor, it won't come at all. I'm sorry, it could be like a drawer, it won't come at all into the house. Or, if you follow the Kri, it'll be like a tzipor, in that it will come back to the person who gave the curse. So, very fairly simple message, that if you make a false curse, or a needless curse, or a curse to somebody who doesn't deserve it, A, it won't come to that person, and B, it might reverberate back to the person giving the curse. Plus Gimel, Shot Lasus Meged La Meteg Lachamor Veshevet Legev Ksilim. The Malbim says that the reason why animals need to be disciplined physically, so a horse will need a whip, and a chamor, a donkey, is so much less able to receive discipline than that, you'll have to actually use a meteg, a bridle, you'll have to hold on much more firmly. That is because they are animals, and they just like to follow their instincts, and therefore to control them following their instincts, you have to have strict discipline. But people shouldn't be like that, because people have free will and free choice. So they should be the kind of thing where if you show them the right way, they should be able to choose it. But the point is, the ksil, and here an example that's much less offensive than talking about adults, is with children. So we all know that sometimes you have to discipline children. And what we're doing with disciplining children is trying to help them learn that just because they want something doesn't mean that they go for it. And so we try to do it with words, but at some point we say to them, listen, if you can't listen to words, or we should say to them, if you can't listen with words, I may need to go to a different level of discipline, and that might involve punishment, and it might involve different ages as different things are appropriate, but it might involve certainly at a young age, at a very young age, it might involve giving a little botch to make sure they get the lesson, they understand the lesson. So the ksil, who strays from the paths of wisdom, mipnei ta'avato, because of his desires, so the Malbim is saying, he's almost like an animal. Why? Because he's letting his instincts guide him. And therefore they need a shevet just like the animals, like the horse and the donkey. They need a shevet, they need a stick, because the stick, and then he says, yisurim, and sufferings, so that will lead him, to force him to go on to the right and proper path. The Malbim doesn't make it explicit, doesn't go into greater depth, but what he's suggesting is that there may be people among us, some of us may be such people, who tend to just say, well, if I feel it, then it must be good, and I'll follow what I feel. And that it might be that Hashem will have to come along and to try to discipline us, much like you do with an animal or perhaps with a child. Hashem will have to discipline us. And so therefore it might be that some of the times that we get Yisurim is like that. It's like we're tending to follow our desires, our just instincts, and this is helping us not. Now, you could go on, but our time is always short in these prakim, but I think that's a very vital, important perspective on Yisurim, and while it's not always true, but many, many times it's true, that serious illness or serious sufferings in the end produce people with a better understanding of what kinds of people they should be, and forms their character in positive ways that they might not have allowed it to happen otherwise. I'm not saying that all Yisurim are for that reason and that it should always happen, be thought of it that way, but that's part of what the Malbim is understanding in this pasuk. Pasuk Dalet, Al Tan Kisil Be'ivalto, Ki'ivalto, Pent Shavelo Gamata. Don't answer the seal according to his silliness, according to his stupidity, according to his folly. So the Malbim says, since the seal is somebody who wants to just follow his instincts and his nature and his physical desires, what he'll do is, when the pillars of wisdom, the nature of wisdom, when the ideas of wisdom, the laws of wisdom would tell him not to do that, they would stand in the way, what he does is, because he wants to is, because he still wants to do that, is he will cast aspersions on the nature of wisdom and faith. And the Malbim is living in the late 1800s, so by this time you have people like this. You have Reform Jews around him, so he's not speaking in a vacuum. And he's suggesting that many of the people who rebel against the discipline of Torah are doing it, whatever they say they're doing it for, whatever reason they're giving it, they're really giving it because they want to be able to just do what they want to do. So that their attack on wisdom and their claim that wisdom shouldn't be understood the way it always has been is not really based on that. So if you argue with him, it won't work. Because they also really understand at some deep level what wisdom's all really about. And so they're throwing it away, not really because of their belief, but because they want to turn towards their own desires. Now, that's an important claim. It may still be true in many cases today, but it's an important claim to think about. When we make an intellectual argument that says, oh, I don't believe in this or I don't believe in that, is it really out of the pure intellectual discussion and understanding of what's going on? And just the best way I can think about it, I can't see how that's true. Or is there really something underlying it that really we'd like to move in a different direction, and therefore we're finding a reason to suggest that we can't? So in those situations, the Malbim is saying, the Mishnah is telling us not to answer such people. Because if you try to resolve their doubts and have a discussion about that, first of all, it's almost like you're equals. It's as if you also have a doubt about it. It's as if you also don't understand or are trying to work your way through to a true answer. And therefore, it's not appropriate to do that because it gives the impression that this is a topic for actual debate because you're having debate with them. And nonetheless, though, the next pasuk is going to take back that. So you might say that means don't answer them at all. So pasuk hey says no. You have to answer him to some extent so that he shouldn't think that he is wise with his silliness. So you have to show him the folly of his perspective. And it's not to show your wisdom and to show how smart you are. It's just to make sure that he doesn't have to think that he's so wise. So that's a delicate balance. You have to try to get into the argument enough to show him the errors in his way of thinking about it, but not to really say, oh, this is a good argument to have. You have actual good ideas, and we have to struggle with those. You have to try to demonstrate to him the folly of his ways so that he doesn't come to think of himself as smart and wise and having a perspective just like yours. You have to try to do that, but not to the extent that you say, oh, this is an argument among equals, we're having a discussion. So Pesukim Vav and Zayin, Mekatze Raglayim Chamas Shote Sholeach Dvarim Biyad Kasil. I'm sorry. Mekatze Raglayim Chamas Shote Sholeach Dvarim Biyad Kasil. The GPS English says, he who sends a message by a dullard, Sholeach Dvarim Biyad Kasil, is like wear out his legs and must put up with lawlessness. Although must put up with, they say, is the meaning of the Hebrew uncertain. You're just cutting off your legs if you're sending the Yer Kasil and Pasuk Zayin Dal Yu Shokayim Mipiseach Umashal Bipik Silim. His legs hang limp on a cripple, so is a proverb in the mouth of dullards. Mekatzer Raglayim. The Imam says the whole point is that when a Kasil, this person gives in to his various lusts and appetites and desires, he becomes like a drunkard. He just gets drunk on enjoying himself. And what does that mean? Just like the wine for somebody who's drunk makes them unable to stand, it sort of almost removes their legs from them, so too the ksil, who won't only want to indulge physical food desires, will also want to do stealing and taking things that don't belong to him and things like that. So after he is drunk with his various appetites, and he can't stand, so standing for the Malbim will mean he can't follow the ways of wisdom, and so his legs will like not stand up under him. And by legs, that means yisodot ha-kachaba. He'll lose contact with what wisdom is really all about, meaning the Malbim's understanding that Ksil started out as being a person who understood what wisdom was all about, but didn't want to follow it. But then he starts casting aspersions on it because to get rid of what we would call the cognitive dissonance of wanting to follow his desires when wisdom says not to, he then attacked wisdom, and then he loses contact with even the basic foundations of wisdom. No longer understands what it means to be wise. It'll be excess to him, and therefore he wants to get rid of them. And that's what'll happen. What will happen is that he won't be able to stand. So that's what these psukim are for the Malbim. They're saying that the ksil, the eventual path of the ksil, since he likes to follow his desires, will be that he'll lose contact with wisdom as well. I will say that, without naming any names, obviously, but I have had conversations with people who are, in their potential, very intelligent, and give the impression of intelligence. These might be people with PhDs, with medical degrees, with law degrees, so they are intelligent people, and yet, if you ever get into an argument with them about issues of what I might consider wisdom, of Torah, of Yirat Shamayim, of faith, of understanding God, and they have other desires that outweigh them, other commitments that are more important to them, so then the ability of these people to argue passionately and emotionally, but without any actual logic to it, I mean really without logic, let alone without a faith commitment, is remarkable. So I don't know if this ever happens to you, but you might want to follow it into the future, as to whether when you're having arguments with people about topics of deep concern, and they want to follow a certain path, the ability of people to rationalize it, meaning in their minds to understand they made it rational, is so remarkable that very often people say things that are blatantly illogical, and yet they hold to them and say, yeah, I believe this and I hold this strongly. So that's, I think, part of what the Malbim is talking about, that the Kseel is a person who his commitment isn't to following wisdom, their commitment is to following what they want to follow. And once the commitment is to follow what they want to follow, the hold on wisdom and the hold on the foundations of wisdom, the forms of logic and speech and understanding that would lead to wisdom is very weak and can be lost. It's like loading a pebble into a sling, so is paying honor to a dullard. So the reason the Malbim had said was that you don't answer him in an honorable kind of way, is you don't want to give him honor. Because just like when you put a stone into a sling, it looks like you're giving it honor, but really it's to throw it against people and to kill them. So too, if you give honor to a kseel, if you honor them as if they have something real and important and valuable to say, so they will turn your answers and your honor that you give them into heresy. So it's like you're loading up a stone, and here the Malbim is understanding it as just even the honor you would give them by engaging them in real argument about these issues. So just that aspect of it would be a dangerous thing for the people around. As a thorn comes to the hand of a drunkard, so a proverb to the mouth of a dullard. So he says, Ksilim tend to lie around, and they lie around until they get choach. They get thorns in their hands, because if you just lie on the ground, you'll get stuff from the ground in your hands. And yet they will find ways sometimes to have a mashal, and they'll put a mashal in their mouths, and that mashal for them will be one that will destroy the undergroundings of wisdom, and therefore that will be a problem. And that is the mashal. So what's the mashal that the kseel will find to try to help their perspective, their point of view? So they'll say, Rav Micholel Kol Misocher Kseel Misocher Ovrim. This is what the kseel will say, and this is very interesting because, again, if you want to do historical analysis, which I don't generally do, but the Malbim does live in the late 1800s when these ideas start being very popular. He says, what will the kseel say to try to support themselves or try to claim that they have a perspective of wisdom? What they say is, Hashem created everybody, and people don't have free will. And since people don't have free will, then Hashem created the kseelim, and Hashem created the rishayim, and Hashem created the tzadikim, and they all have their job in life, and their job is to be who they are. And therefore there can't be any punishment because there's no free will, because they're just being who they are. So that idea, which is still common today very much, that idea of we all have our natures and God made us with our natures, we're supposed to follow our natures. So I won't give many examples at all, but we hear it today often, that the idea that if I was born a certain way, that's the way God wants me to be, and I'm not either, I can't choose. There are people today who will still talk about the fact that humans don't really have free will, or I'm not supposed to choose, I'm not required to change my desires. So there are many people today who will say, if a person's born a certain way, if genetically that's the way they're created, then it must be that it's okay. So the Malbim is using that as the example. Those two together are the way the kseel will justify just following his desires. And yet in every single case, not every single case, in any case where the desire is for something that's wrong, that will be incorrect. So the Malbim says, after he told you what the kseel will say, now he's going to tell you again why you shouldn't bother to answer him in a way in which you say we're really bringing us to dispute and trying to argue it out. Because just like a dog who will try to once again eat, now Kelshav al Kiyomi, it's a dog that returns to its vomit. And that will be a kseel shenebi yivalto. So why does it refer to its vomit? So the Malbim says that the kelev, the dog, will come back to eat something, not just that it's disgusting, but it's something that its own body wasn't able to tolerate because it vomited up. So nonetheless, it'll take it in without any regard to the fact that it wasn't good for him. So too, the ksil will go back to the ivelet that eventually turned on him in some way, and he vomited it out, meaning he sort of realized that just following his physical desires wasn't good, even though he knows that it's something disgusting and it's something inappropriate, he will do it again. And that's the reason not to bother arguing with him, because the issue isn't right or wrong. The issue isn't whether he is attached. It isn't whether he really believes it. The issue is he wants it, and therefore he's going to go for it and adopt it, no matter what you do. And therefore it's not worth it. Now we go to the next level, even worse than the ksil, who is after all just following his desires. If he ever comes to realize that it's not always appropriate to follow our desires, and sometimes wisdom tells us to resist and to go against them, but if you see a man who thinks himself wise, even a ksil has more hope. And the why is that? Because the ksil, when his ta'ava goes away, the Malbim says, he can do tshuva. When he gets tired of all his various lusts and appetites, he can do tshuva. So now, when you lose your lusts, so that's not going to be perfect tshuva anymore. That's not going to be as good tshuva, but it will still be tshuva. And he will then accept discipline. So for example, if you have a person who, when they're young, wants to, what we euphemistically call sow wild oats, and so they either man or woman, are promiscuous for a while, but they eventually settle down and get married, and then they do tshuva for those things, so the ta'ava went away, or they at least came to understand they needed to restrain that ta'ava, then they get a tshuva. But a chacham be'inav, who understands and believes that their actions are in the ways of wisdom, that's even worse. It's not that the wisdom is self-justifying so that they can indulge. This person is cholek ala chachma. They disagree with wisdom from a principled stand. You have people like that, and that's called a chacham be'inav. That would be a person who says, let's say, science proves X or Y or Z that's against the Torah. And they have no appetitive stake in the matter. It's not that they want to do it and that's why they're saying it. It's just because they think that their ways are the right and the true ways. And that's much harder to fix. And therefore, Kim, maybe if you can convince them that they've missed out on what the nature of wisdom is, then there will be some hope for them. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Amar Atzel Shachal Baderech Ari Ben HaRechovot. So the Malbim says that the reason why we switch to an atzel, to a lazy person here, is because the person out of their laziness doesn't want to investigate true wisdom, and that will then lead them to adopt the position of being a chacham be'inav. Because real wisdom needs effort, zrizut, assiduous alacrity, and avodah, and hard work. But the atzel, the lazy person, doesn't want to put in that hard work, and therefore they just assume that everything they do is with wisdom, and they don't have to look hard into wisdom. They think wisdom is sort of intuitive. You meet people like that and just say, well, if I understand it this way, it must be true. And it's not so much a function of they want to follow their desires, it's they just don't want to bother to accept the idea that wisdom might take time and effort to acquire, and therefore, and why would they say that? Because it's like there's a shacha gadol baderech. What does that mean? He says, they think that if they get into studying higher wisdoms, like, interestingly, for our last chapter, Maaseh Breshit and Maaseh Merkava, like the esoteric wisdom, they think they'll get destroyed by it. They might go out to heresy, and therefore they say that I'm not going to bother getting to that stuff. Right? There's an Ari ben Arechavot, and Pasuk Yidala Dilat Yitzova Tzirava Atzila Mitato, like the door turns on its hinges, the Atzila wants to just lie in bed. He doesn't want to get into that. So the Malbim now is saying, though, that part of the reason he's going to claim he doesn't want to get into that is because he sees danger in getting to that. That's what the danger on the path, on the road is. I go on the road of wisdom, I might get killed. I might go into heresy. And therefore, I'm not going to bother doing it. So that's a defensive posture. But then you don't get into real wisdom. And then, Tamana Tzeliyado Batalacha, Nil Allah Shiva, Elpiva, a lazy person gets so lazy, they put their hand into the dish, and they don't even remove it to pull it back. So the Malbim says, even if you give them food of wisdom, you try to spoon feed them the wisdom, they won't bother eating it. And the Nimshal is, even if you give them the proper soul wisdom they need, they won't take it. So, for example, let's say you tell them the stories of the Torah. And the point of those stories is much deeper than Malbim says, to learn lessons of how to act and how to be. They'll eat, they'll accept the outer version of it. They'll take it as Bible stories at a third grade level and nice, fun things, but they won't learn the lessons from them, the Musar and the Chochmah, and that's what the Atzel is. So that, as opposed to the Ksil who is doing it for the purpose of just justifying their own actions, these are just people who don't want to bother looking into the depths of wisdom, and therefore they develop their own theory of what wisdom is, and that's a problem. Somebody who is atzel, who is lazy, and chacham be'inav, and thinks that they are wise, so you can give him all the reasons of the world, and he'll be stronger than seven such people, because he thinks he knows better for them, and that's why the ksil, the Malbim says, has a better chance at doing tshuva than this person does. So that is, I think that brings to a conclusion our discussion of two kinds of people who resist the pull of wisdom, the ksil and the chacham be'inav, and the dangers of both, which would then suggest that even if we think that we're making arguments, whatever those arguments may be, but arguments against the general Torah perspective, and we think we're doing it because we have good arguments, we need to test ourselves in two ways, the Malbim is saying, implicitly. One way is we need to test whether we really just try to justify our right to indulge our various desires. We also need to test whether we're just too lazy to bother getting into the forms of wisdom that are out there, and therefore by virtue of that laziness, or to justify that laziness, we then attack the nature of wisdom and develop our own vision of what wisdom might be. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Machazik Ba'oznei Chelev Over Mitaber Al Riv Lolo Ovznei Chalev. So somebody who, it's like grabbing a pacifier, gets embroiled in somebody else's quarrel, it's like one who seizes a dog by its ears. So what does that mean? The dog was just walking on its way and wasn't barking at him, but then when you grab its ears, it'll bark on you, at you, and it might bite you. So too, if you get involved in a fight that's not yours, which didn't bark at you, and because you tried to get involved, you're going to end up getting charef. That's what the Bible says. So the idea being that you shouldn't be bothering to get involved in a, if it's not your fight, just stay away from it. Now, if they come to you for help in adjudicating it, that's one matter. If you think you have a way, perhaps you have a way to bring peace among them, you might try. But that's something to understand. It's like grabbing a dog by the ears, and there's that danger involved. Mitlalea hayorezikim chitzim v'mavet. Like a madman, commit matlalea, although the meaning of the Hebrew is uncertain according to JBS, scattering deadly firebrands or arrows, plus yutet, can each remind reyehu, v'amar halom misachekini. So too is somebody who cheats his fellow and says, I was only joking. So the Malbim says, Hamirameh means that first you destroy or you damage his property, and then his body, and then his soul, and then you think it's all a big joke. So it's like when a mitlaleh, a person just walks around spreading destruction and then pretends that it's not such a problem. So that's what's going on here. You have people who pretend that all they're doing is joking, but they're really very damaging. So fooling others, and if you fool others in areas of faith in particular, it can be very damaging and very problematic. Even if you say, well, I wasn't doing anything, I didn't really have any bad intentions, nonetheless, you can create a lot of damage. Pasuk Chaf, the FS 18. Techabe Eish uvein nirgan yishtok madon. Malbim points out that when it comes to fire, so if you have coals that are already burning, that's Pasuk Chaf, Techam lagachalim veitzim laish, veish midyanim lecharcher reeve. If you don't have any wood, let's start with Pasuk Chaf. If you don't have any wood, the fire goes out. And you don't have a nirgan, if you don't have a person, the JPS English has nirgan as a person, a queryless man, you don't have anybody there to keep the argument going, so then it'll just die down. And then the Malbim throws in here, and by the way, if there's no hatred, that's part of what the important of nirgan is, that a lot of fights are only happen because of pre-existing anger between the two. So the nirgan is somebody who always is complaining that people do bad to him, so there's no nirgan, so then disputes between people will just go away. And then the same idea in Pasuk of Aleph, Pecham Lagachalim Eitzim La'esh. So the Bible points out when it comes to Gechalim that are already sort of hot and burning, you just need a little bit of Pecham. You need a spark. And then the spark will get the fire going again. But for real fire, a big fire, you need to bring new firewood, new fuel for the fire. And so too, to keep a fire going, you just need an Ish Middanim, Shemi Orir Dinim, who brings up arguments between them. But to produce a big argument, a big fire, you need a near gun, so that's like you bring in big makot, who claims it's big makot, big blows, striking at each other, and so that person will then be able to produce a big, large fire if he like claims that people are attacking him and damaging him, and that's supposed to come bad as well. Divin your gun commit lahamim vehim yardu chadrevat. The words of a curious man are bruising; they penetrate your inmost parts, and that's what we're saying. That kind of a person is a person who create the big kind of a battle, of a quarrel, of a fight, of an argument. And then the Malbim throws in that all this really is an analogy to mitra'im al midotav shel Hashem yitbarach, somebody who wants to argue about how Hashem treats the world. You have an ish midanim, And then you have an Ish Nirgan who goes back and says, Hashem only created man for bad and for evil, and it's all terrible what Hashem did, like it says earlier in Mishnah. So the Malbim's point is saying that these psukim have been telling us about arguments among people, and that to keep arguments among people going, you need to have a certain negativity to you. Somebody in the argument has to have a certain negativity, otherwise the argument will sort of die down on its own, and then that applies as well to people who try to complain about the way Hashem created the world or runs the world. That'll be the same kind of a thing. Pasuk Chav Gimel, Kesef Sigim Mitzupe Al Charesh Svatayim Dolkim V'Lev Ra. Base silver laid over earthenware are ardent lips with an evil mind. Kesef Sigim Mitzupe Al Charesh Svatayim Dolkim V'Lev Ra. So, these people who speak wrongly, who speak differently than they feel, they speak nicely, but they are angry or evil in their hearts, is almost worse than a nirgan. A nirgan at least complains openly and honestly, leads to more fighting, but is open and honest about what he's fighting about, whereas these people are echad bapeh v'echad b'lev. They are very enthusiastic about you to your face, and that's like if you have a silver-plated earthenware thing, and you think that it's all silver all the way through, so it tricks you into thinking that it's silver, but it's really a clay underneath. So too with these kinds of people, and that's even worse according to the Malbim. Pasuk Chav Dalet Bisfatav Yinacher Soneu V'Kirbo Yashit Mirma. With his lips, is stranger to you, meaning hides the hatred that he has for you, but inside of him he's thinking of various ways to destroy you. So the Malbim says B'Dibur Achit Soneu Yinacher Sinatau Kidu Ohev. In his outer appearance, he hides his hatred as if he loves you, but inside he's trying to think of various ways to trick you and to destroy you and to steal from you. And then when Imshal is talking about somebody who is Michonef Bisfatav, who flatters you, and so flatters you in the sense that he pretends that he believes in God, but he actually doesn't. And so that can be damaging, because then this person, you think that this person is somebody you can join in various endeavors with, because you think that you share a common belief in God, but that you actually don't. I don't know for sure, but I can imagine the Malbim talking about the Reform in this context, who would say they believe in God, but they have these things that they disagree with within Halacha, and you might still be led to believe that they're Jews just like us, and they share a faith commitment with us, even though we have debates. So it would be similar to, let's suppose at some point somebody were to say, I believe that electricity is allowed on Shabbos. At some point, and most Jews, most Orthodox Jews at least, believe that we're not allowed to turn lights on and off on Shabbos for whichever the reasons may be. So that could be a debate within the world of Halacha. I think yes, you think no, but we all share important basic faith commitments or many other issues. You know, Sephardim do eat kitniot on Pesach and Ashkenazim don't. But there's no question, we disagree on that issue and that custom, but there's no question that we all are faithful believing Jews. But there'll be people who say, no, I believe in Judaism, I just don't believe in this, or I just don't accept this. So I'm saying some of these people don't actually believe anymore, and therefore it's very dangerous, because you won't know that you actually now have a split in your underlying faith commitments, not just in some particular detail of halakha. Pasuk of Heiki Chanin Kolo Alta Minbo Kisheva Toivod Bilibo. And with such a person, you can't believe what he says, because they present themselves as people of faith, and even if they pray a lot, and so they look like they're observant in that way, they look like they believe in God the same way you believe in God, right? We have this problem many times. Certainly for those who, for example, have claimed, well, I won't go there, but there have been many occasions in Judaism where there have been people who look observant, they seem Orthodox, and yet their faith commitments are extremely different from others. In the 1700s, you couldn't always tell who a Sabbatian was, but the Sabbatian's commitments were extremely different at some point for sure than ordinary Jews, and yet they acted in a fully Orthodox way, and you have to understand that some of these people were nonetheless not people who we shared a faith commitment with. So that's what the Malbim is saying. So the fact that somebody davens well or a lot, or puts on tefillin, or wears the clothing that we would identify with Orthodoxy, is no guarantee that they are that kind of a person. Some of these people speak one way, but their faith commitments are extremely different from what they actually portray themselves to be. That's what the Malbim is saying. Pasuk Chavav, Tikasesin Abimashaon, Tigalev Ato Bakahal. His hatred may be concealed by dissimulation, but he will be exposed to public view. So Dvarim Asher Hasinat Tichaseh, that he's covering over. This person who hates you or doesn't agree with you, he'll cover over, but eventually it will be shown in public. We'll eventually see, but what the definition eventually is unclear, but we'll eventually see his true reality until the point the Malbim says, somebody who digs a pit will eventually fall into it, and he rolls a stone, it'll fall down onto him. So he himself will fall in the various traps that he set. So the Rambam is saying that Mishlei is saying that such people will eventually be, as we say, hoisted by their own pitar, meaning it'll work back on them. So that even though such people can be very dangerous and can lead people to misunderstand who they are and what they're all about, it all sort of works out in the end. Pasuk of Chet Lashon Sheker, Yisnad Dakav Ufechalak Yaseh Madecha. And the reason for it is that a lying tongue hates those crushed by its smooth speech, throws one down. So Yisnad Dakav, the JPS is having as those that he crushes. But the Malbim understands that it says Mitzayer B'Melitza Shalashon Sheker Atzmo Yisnad Hanid Ka'im Lefanav. He understands it that way. The lying tongue will hate those that it crushed, and Hainu, Dainu Haragil Lekabel Lashon Hara, somebody who generally tends to accept Lashon Hara, Ohevet Giborim, those who speak Lashon Hara in private, and they're afraid to speak it in public, and then they eventually get hated by their Lashon Sheker, because it shows they don't really mean it, that it doesn't really mean anything. Whereas a Pechalak, and the Pe, the Bechalakot, who flatters other people, who is speaking things he doesn't really believe, he himself will fall into these traps. So the Malbim is saying that these kinds of speech and these kinds of ways of tricking other people into thinking that you're something that you're not eventually work themselves back against that person and end up damaging that person. So in this chapter, the Malbim has had a significant section about those who reject the forms of wisdom, and then another significant section about those who are dishonest about who they are and what they believe and what their commitments are and the dangers of such people and how to deal with such people and how to handle such people in a way that you don't get damaged by it, with the underlying understanding that these people will eventually lose out for the things that they've been doing. Have a great day.